This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Alliance Bank presents you The Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Dato' Emir Mavani Abdullah, the Chief Executive Officer and Group President of Felda Global Ventures Berhad, the third largest oil palm plantation in the world by planted acreage, with us on the grill this morning. Dato', a very warm welcome. Now, when Felda Global listed in 2012, it was the world's number two IPO after Facebook. Today, Mark Zuckerberg's company is at a record high, while Felda Global is at or near a record low. Part of the problem has been your record in mergers and acquisitions. The latest and no less controversial is your proposal to buy Eagle High, which is the number three planter in Indonesia, the world's largest palm oil producer. Now, under your plan, you entail paying 2.55 billion ringgit for a non-controlling 37% stake, of which 23% is to be paid in a cash deposit, despite only signing a heads of agreement, which is a mere intention to negotiate. Now, at a time when CPO prices are at multi-year lows and typical deposits amount to between 5 and 10%, how can you justify this deal on any kind of metric?
First of all, good morning to all the listeners, and good morning, Mr. Chuang. In fact, it's an honor to be here in today's morning breakfast grill, actually. Yes, in fact, it's a hot topic in the market about Rajawali deal. But I think before we go into it, let's understand the context over here. FGV was listed in 2012. And we chose to list at particular time because CPO price were high, timing was good, so we listed it. And we got, in fact, I would say a very good return on what we did over there. Actually, right? Along the way, you must understand that when we listed FGV, we listed basically a land bank that was leased from our parent, that is Felda. Actually, right? And along the way, we did inform our prospect investors and also now shareholders that we basically have a what I call as an ailing plantation, actually. 55% of my plantation was old and very old, actually. So our program, from that day onwards, is called a transformation program. The program was basically look at our cost efficiency, optimize our revenue, and also look at operational excellence. And along the way, basically, we got to look into what we're going to do with the plantation. To grow the plantation, that's when we went into our merger and acquisition, actually. Now, when we do replanting, we are committed to 15,000 hectares of replanting per year. And we are very, very on this, and we are very religiously doing this particular one. And it costs nearly about 256 million ringgit to do 15,000 of replanting in a year, not forgetting the loss of revenue of our trees, actually. So we got to find some land bank to basically cover up this area. So we went into the merger acquisition. For our first acquisition, as most of you all know, is a Pontian plantation. Right, followed by APL in Sarawak, and we had one small acquisition done this year too in GL land actually. Also bear in mind, right, most of my land basically is a lease land actually, meaning that I got to pay fair value to Felda and a fixed value and a variable value over there. So my intention actually is to grow my non-lease land across actually. So where do I go in the road? I've got choices to expand my land bank. There are no land bank in Peninsula Malaysia anymore.
Right? Well, the fact of the matter remains, on the first day of IPO, I think you crossed the 5 ringgit mark, listing at 450, and today it's at 170 or so, which is the third of the share price. Mm. Now, one of your cornerstone investors at the time was the EPF. Mm-hmm. And as we know, Dato' Shahrul, the CEO there, has been very vocal in his opposition of your Eagle High Plantations transaction. Yeah. EPF has ceased to be a substantial shareholder. They've sold all their shares in FGV. I guess they no longer believe in the plan that you have set in place, the transformation agenda. Now, of course, how would you respond to that given the particular metrics of this Eagle High transaction?
Yeah, let me come back to this transformation. I'll come to the Rajawali again, actually. Right? So we need to grow the land bank. So either I can grow in Malaysia if I wanted to, right? Remember, there are no land bank
over here.
Does
it not bother you that EPF is no longer a major owner?
EPF, in fact, is one of our shareholders.
Correct, right? But they're no longer a substantial shareholder. They've sold stock in your company. Yes. It indicates a loss of patience in your business.
No, I mean...
So therefore, it indicates that they have lost patience with your transformation agenda, which began 3 years ago, as you say, Dato.
No, see, what EPF can do, they are, of course, buying and selling shares. It's their job to do so, actually. Right, they do mark to market anyway.
The fact that they bought at 450 and sold at 175 indicates something more serious than that.
They have been doing this. They've been selling and buying our shares anyway along the way. But remember, plantation basically is definitely a long-term business, really, right? You look at it as a long-term play. Like I said to you just now, we are transforming our plantation. To do that, we need to replant, and we got to find for land bank, actually, right, to stabilize the entire business.
We get the replanting bit. We understand the money you're spending on that side of things. But for you to for you to increase the maturity profile of your business, not just with Eagle High, but with Pontian as well as with Asia Plantations, all of them have been criticized for being expensive. To return to Eagle High, now you're paying something like $2.6 billion for 37% stake, which is not controlling. You're also allowing Rajawali Group to also lead the business going forward, when in fact Plantations is no longer their core business. So again, not just on the valuation side, but on the management side as well.
Okay, like I said just now, where do we grow the land bank? Right, we can choose to grow the land bank in Malaysia, which is going to be very, very expensive to do so. You can see transaction happening in Malaysia. We can choose basically the grow land bank in West Africa if you wanted to, or even in Papua New Guinea where SAMW bought NBOL over there, or even in the north of South America.
The market doesn't dispute the fact that you've chosen to expand in Indonesia. Correct country, valuation metrics a bit off. Now, of course, you are putting down 23% of the transaction value in cash at a time when spot CPO prices are at multi-year lows. Now, of course, the market is wondering what on earth is going on.
Let's come back now to the context of Indonesia, actually. Okay. Indonesia provides us the best opportunity to grow our business over there. If you look at even the context of oil or oil yield per hectare, Indonesia provides us more than 20 to 30% more oil yield per hectare than Malaysia does, actually. Yeah.
Okay, Datu, we're not talking about, we're not questioning the choice of Indonesia as a destination. Right. It is the valuation metrics of the Eagle High transaction.
Right, okay. Now let's come back to that, actually. Going to Indonesia is not an easy task. Right. Many people have been there. Even we are there today in Indonesia, actually, owning small pocket of land here and there. Now, it is an intention for FGB to look into the contiguous land approach, actually, a large land bank. See, we have a large land bank in Malaysia. It's in Sabah, 100,000 over hectares of land. It gives us cost effectiveness and also opportunity for us to improve our value chain over there. So we went to Indonesia. We have a lot of other offers over there, but all a very, very small land bank. So Rajawali came to us with a huge land bank. We look at it very, very seriously.
According to yesterday's Star newspaper, Peter Sondag said that you came to them, not they came to you. So who is actually telling the truth?
We came to them, actually. Right. Right? And we were looking at others, also land bank over there, and other opportunities for increase. But Rajawali is the third largest plantation company in Indonesia. They got a huge land bank, 450,000 hectares land bank, nearly 130,000 land bank that is planted, actually.
Of which 70% is unplanted, right?
130,000 land bank is planted.
Correct.
60-70% is
so
not
planted. So 2/3 of the land bank which you're
is greenfield.
Buying is greenfield.
It's not planted.
Now, you're paying a high price for 1/3, for basically a company which only has 1/3 of its land bank planted, right?
And the price we are paying is only for the planted.
Correct.
Right? So the EV per hectare, $17,400 is for the planted land, actually.
So the next question is, what are the capital requirements for Felder Global to plant the remaining 2/3 of the land bank? What's the capital plan there? What's the funding plan?
Now, when you got a 34,000 land bank that is already planted, and their plantation basically also is in the range between 6 to 8 years, actually, right, over there. So you don't want to simply go and do another plantation, grow it further. You better merchant this particular plantation and make it slowly grow, actually, right? Now, the planting cost in Indonesia is much more cheaper than in Malaysia, of course, actually, over there.
So you're saying that Eagle High land bank is only 1/3 planted. The remaining 2/3 you're going to purchase. You don't have a plan to plant them at this point in time, or you do, but you don't want to disclose it?
We don't want to go into a massive planting process over there, because once we merge these plantations, right, we got an aging plantation. This is a growing plantation. So profile didn't become average very nice, about 8.5 years to 9 years, you see. Mm. So you don't want to spend too much of a capital expenditure on planting now, you see. Let us then nurture this particular plantation and become better.
Part of the reason why Felder Global stock has been sold down in recent weeks has been the fact that you chose to pay a 23% cash dollar deposit for the acquisition. Now, why have you gone that route when typical deposits range between 5 and 10%?
We must understand that this deposit basically is a refundable deposit. Right? We are basically in a due diligence
all
stage.
All deposits are refundable, Dato. Yeah.
This is refundable with interest. Just to emphasize on that. And please bear in mind that we are basically in the due diligence stage at the moment, actually. Even our deposit payment to Rajawali is subject to regulatory approval over here, right? Now, Okhotsk is basically a commercial decision.
Correct,
that
but
we
it's
made.
The thing is, it goes beyond the typical 5 to 10% deposit norm. Plus, you've only signed a heads of agreement, which is an intention to negotiate. You haven't even signed anything beyond that, but you put down 23% in cash, in dollars, to the selling party. Now, again, this is at nearly three times the accepted industry norm.
Yeah, this is a decision that both parties have agreed upon, that we will put a deposit of a commitment to them. So remember, when we went to Rajawali, the others also going to Rajawali. So we were not the only one that actually went to Rajawali to discuss with them on this particular transaction. So show commitment, said, look, we'll put a deposit down, we'll do due diligence accordingly. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't work out, they'll refund us back the deposit.
Dato' Imran Mavani. Yeah. Dr. Amir Mavani Abdullah, the group CEO and president of Feld Global Ventures Berhad, the number three planter in the world by acreage, is with us on the grill this morning. After this, Dato, more of your views on Eagle High as well as your previous transactions with Pontian and APL.
Looking forward to it.
We have with us this morning Dato' Imran Mavani Abdullah, the CEO and group president of Feld Global Ventures Berhad, the number three planter in the world by planted acreage. Now, staying on Eagle High, Dato, and now, of course, in December, Eagle High, which is an Indonesia-listed planter, was 40% cheaper on the share price. Today, you paid paying the price. Peter Sondak, or Tan Sri Peter Sondak to us Malaysians, has walked away with a paper profit of 1.2 billion ringgit. Now, from a market and commercial perspective, this seems also a bit off.
Remember, a year ago, right, Rajawali was trading more than 1,000 rupiah, actually. Right, that's when the CPO price was high. Today, the CPO price is low. They're trading lower than that, actually. Right? Now, look at it this way. You don't go and buy plantation based on the stock level. Even in FGB, our stock level is very low, actually. Don't tell me I'm going to sell my stock today at 2 ringgit and make some money and thinking there is a market rate to sell. We're buying it basically on the value of the land and what the land will yield to us in the CPO, actually, as a whole. And we believe that what we're paying over there is a fair value based on the planted area on AV per hectare.
Does it sit well with you, Dato, and the board as well, that Rajawali Group, which no longer sees plantations as their core business, will run this division, which is going to cost you 2.25 billion ringgit to buy?
When we went into Rajawali, it was more of a strategic fit, actually, right? We know for a fact the land bank is quite good. They have a land bank in Kalimantan.
But they're going to be running the business, not you. So are you comfortable with that?
So when we went down there, there's basically an understanding on how we're going to work together, actually. Our strength in FGB basically is in our inputs, our fertilizers and our seedlings and our R&D, and also on our downstream activities. So when we went down there, they're seeking FGB to come in on the context of giving them advice on how to basically make their plantation more efficient. So we're going to have an agreement with them on how this particular plantation is going to be run, and we're going to provide to them our fertilizers, our seedlings, and our know-how on the downstream to go forward, actually. So there is a strategic fit when we want to go with Rajawali Group in Indonesia as a whole, actually, you see.
Staying on Eagle High still, according to Chain Reaction Research, which is a Washington-based environmental group, they point out that of the 70% of Eagle High's land bank, permits are not yet secured to start oil palm planting, and 65% are implanted. We've discussed that. Now, of course, that therefore means that the quality of the asset underlying is not entirely 100%.
We were concentrating more on the land bank that was planted. Obviously, there are also land bank that's not planted, which we have not done our due diligence yet, actually. We are undertaking now our legal diligence to find out what kind of permits they have and what kind of situation the land bank is at the moment, actually.
Which then makes it even more bizarre that to pay more than 2.5 billion ringgit for an asset, the quality of which is questionable, you have chosen to pay 23% of it upfront in cash
again,
in US dollars.
Yes, there was a commercial commitment we went with them, actually. We want to be serious about this matter because we want to make sure that we're doing this deal.
Why did the board of directors not make more of a fuss? I mean, if industry norm is 10%, 15% would have been higher than industry norm. You've gone to 23% upfront in cash.
Like I've said in the beginning, they've got other suitors in place. We want to be there first. We want exclusivity first for ourselves.
Did you demand proof of these suitors in return for your 23% in cash upfront?
They have a non-disclosure agreement on this, so we don't discuss who the suitors are because we know for a fact they had it, actually.
In times as weak as this, Dato, when CPO prices are at multi-year lows, surely then the board and yourself could have made a bigger stand and said, look, sorry, but this is our way or the highway, because you are the buyer. It's the buyer's market.
You see, there are many more buyers today when the CPO price is low. You go into merchant acquisition when the CPO price is low, not when the CPO price is high, actually. If it's poor, it's high, nobody's going to sell. If they sell, it's going to be a very high price, actually. It's the right time to look into assets when the CPO price is low.
Part of the reason why you've lost 60% of your value since IPO has been your record in mergers and acquisitions. And Pontian Plantations, when you bought that as well, it was deemed too expensive. According to BIMB Securities, it said that the earnings contribution was going to be minimal. The deal lacked important details. And Maybank Investment Research said that this was a transaction which was 55% higher than their own offer, TSH's offer, to privatize Pontian in June 2012. So it's not just Eagle High. It's historically other transactions as well, including Pontian.
If you look at Pontian itself, not many people knew that when we bought this particular plantation, we had a cash there inside there. But if you take out the cash value inside Pontian, the EV per hectare comes down very drastically, actually, as a whole. And the plantation itself is a mature plantation.
But you're buying the land bank, you're buying it to reduce your maturity, your profile, right? You're not buying it for cash.
No, when we bought the particular Pontian, we bought it the entire shares. Really,
correct, but right? you're including the cash portion now, which actually, if you're trying to decrease the profile
of the tree.
If
you remove the cash portion out, the EV per hectare comes down automatically, actually. So what you see in the BIMB report is looking at the totality of the particular purchase consideration, you see. And we bought the particular, it was mature.
Do you think that's a wise use of IPO proceeds at the time?
Sorry?
Do you think that was a wise use of IPO
definitely.
Proceeds
we
at the time?
We grow our land bank. So like I said, our land bank is already old and very old. And we are basically planting or replanting our holding. So the maturity, when you replant a particular plantation, it takes about 7 to 8 years before you get your proper yield coming in.
The fact of the matter is, at 7.5 billion ringgit since your IPO in 2012, you have spent more in mergers and acquisitions than the entire market cap of FGV at this point in time, given where your share price is right now. Right. The other, of course, transaction is of course, Asia Plantations Limited. Again, criticized for being expensive. CIMB Research at the time said it was expensive because it was a loss-making company and that they were going to be diluting FGV earnings. So not just Eagle High, not just Pontian, but also Asian Plantations.
Let me repeat again. We are basically a sustainable plantation, a very limited land bank available in Malaysia in the context of RSPO, actually. Now, APL is an RSPO certified land bank. So when we look at APL, we look at more strategic context over here, right? We took the land bank, it was basically a young plantation, 4 or 5 years old plantation. The yield will come in the next 2 years or so, actually, right? And we bought it basically as a young plantation price, not as a mature plantation price. So what we're paying down there is fair value too in APL.
If sustainability is your priority, then to revert to Eagle High, we understand that the licenses to develop the land in Eagle High are not all approved, and you may not apparently be able to find enough customers if its planting policies in these areas are not in accordance with recognized standards of sustainability. So that obviates a potential European market where sustainability is very important.
Okay. When we went to Rajawali, our first statement to them is that we are in fact an RSPO certified company, actually. So even Rajawali said they are basically a member of RSPO.
Not entirely certified, right?
Yeah. But we got to look, like I said, we're doing our duty on the land bank, actually. Whichever land bank is not sustainable, we will carve it out from the entire equation. Because in FGB, we are very serious about sustainability.
Dato' Imer Mavani Abdullah, the Group CEO and President of Felda Global Ventures Berhad, the number 3 planter in the world by acreage, with us on the grill this morning. Now again, another transaction which you entered into was a 2.2 billion ringgit deal, Felda Holdings Berhad. Then of course, you defended the deal at the time by saying that it consolidated your value chain. Our question to you now is, why didn't you do it before the IPO? Why did you do it after the IPO and spend IPO proceeds to consolidate your value chain?
Doing an IPO, timing is very, very important. At that particular time, during the IPO, we did not have the agreement from that time, Koperasi Felda, to basically acquire a Felda holding as a whole, actually, right? So we went ahead and did our IPO on our land bank that is leased from Felda. So about a year later, we had our discussion again with KPF to look into buying over Felda holding. Remember, Felda holding basically is the one that owned the particular time, the mills and the refinery and the entire downstream activity, actually. So we want to make sure we actually have a value chain in place. So buying Felda holding is strategically very, very important for FGV.
In totality, Dato, do you think the 7.5 billion ringgit spent on M&As since IPO has been well spent?
Yes, definitely. Like I said to you, if you have a plantation that is aging, you want to grow your land bank to make sure that you have to cover up your replanting activities, number one. Number two, please remember that our land bank today is leased land bank. So you do want to grow your land bank that is not listed, not leased basically. So that's why we want to grow a land bank that's not leased accordingly. To have, so FGV could have its own land bank in place. So acquiring land bank for plantation is very, very important.
Well, maybe the market doesn't seem to think so because your shares have shed 60% of their value. Now, one of your cornerstone investors at the time, the EPF, are no longer cornerstone investors. They're no longer substantial shareholders. And we understand that you are in ongoing discussions with your stakeholders, investors included, as to the state of affairs with the FGV. Now, what is the state of discussions between yourselves and institutional investors like EPF?
We are not only talking to EPF, we're talking to all our shareholders. Correct. To explain to them the entire value chain that we're having.
And in three bullet points, what is your message to them?
Please remember, plantation is a long-term investment, number one. Number two, FGV is going through a major transformation, not only in the context of cost efficiency, but also optimizing our revenue. We are divesting all our non-core assets, right? And we also optimizing our operational excellence within the plantation itself, actually, as a whole. Right. Also, please note that at some certain situation, especially in 2014, weather played a very important role in our plantation. We had a deep freeze in Canada that affected our operations over there. We had a flood in Malaysia that affected our FAB production over here, actually. So there was a hit in our revenue, in fact, from for 14, right, last year. So, again, plantation is not the end of the business. You will get your return back very, very soon. 2019, 2020, we're going to have the best ever plantation in the world, actually.
In your discussions with Dato' Sharil, is he of the opinion, well, clearly not currently because EPF has sold their shares in FGV, but what has been the main pushback from institutional investors like himself?
I've not met him yet. I've just met other shareholders. I'm meeting him most likely next week.
What are you going to say to him?
Again, same thing. This is the plantation, what we're doing in FGV. We are on track in our transformation program. Right? We're divesting our non-core assets. We're looking at operational excellence again internally. And we're doing a replanting very religiously.
One of the things that was counted when you IPO'd was the fact that your production costs at, I think, 2,000 ringgit per metric ton was among the country's highest. Now, what have you done since then? And what are you going to be doing onwards in terms of lowering your cost
again,
profile?
The 2,000 ringgit of XCPO meal cost, is including our land lease agreement, actually. Look at the LLA alone. It contributes nearly about 400 ringgit into the whole cost. Right? So one way to make sure that we have land bank that's not in the LLA itself, which is number one. Number two, we're looking at cost efficiency. Our OER has increased, you see. Our cost has, in fact, come down. We are looking at labor management. We're looking at optimizing the entire operation between the plantation and the mill as a whole, actually. So looking at all these things to reduce the cost of operation. If you compare land bank that is matured, too matured in the market, we are basically there. In fact, our average is below the NPOB average, especially ex-mill costs. If you take out the LLA inside there.
I guess there is a plan on the table to reduce that. In terms of your tree profile, what are you going to be looking like in 3 years' time?
In 2019, you will have an average tree profile, nearly about 9 to 10 years, actually, as a whole. So we have a very nice tree profile coming in the next couple of years. In fact, that's what you want to have in plantation, you know. You don't have two young trees, you don't have two old trees. You don't have more mature trees in between to give you the best revenue. That's what FGV is going to be in the next couple of years, the best plantation in the world.
We are talking this morning to Dato' Emir Movani Abdullah, the CEO and President of Felda Global Ventures Berhad, number three planter in the world by acreage. We're after this going to get your views on your settlers as a stakeholder, as well as your succession plan, Dato'. Dato' Emir Movani Abdullah, the CEO and President of Felda Global Ventures Berhad, with us on the grill this morning. Now, Dato', settlers, of which the stakeholder of which, you know, Felda was formed all those decades ago to protect, has been also quite vocal in their issues with your transactions and your M&A since then. Now, of course, the National Felda Settlers Children Association, otherwise known as ANA, Mazlan Maniman, the president, has called for a stop to these pricey acquisitions and instead renew engagement with them. Now, of course, I know that your structure means that your parent, I think, is the one who manages the settlers and yourselves at the operating level don't. Be that as it may, though, Felda as an entity holistically has been set up all those long decades ago and still continue to have the settlers uppermost in your minds, right? How would you respond to these accusations?
It must be noted first that we are not basically taking any of the settlers' land. The one that listed company, the FGV, basically is only listing the leased land from Felda as a whole. So whatever settlers' land is there, it belongs to the settlers. and they are basically managed by the Felda, our parent, basically Felda company, Felda Holding, Felda Lembaga, we call that actually, right? Now, Settlers is at our heart, definitely for sure. We are in fact very concerned with our Settlers. That's why our dividend policy until today stands. We will keep on giving dividend. 50% of our earning goes to the dividend itself, actually. So Settlers will get the dividend no matter what.
Well, nonetheless, the money that they borrowed all those years ago to buy Felda Global shares is now deeply underwater, and they continue to pay monthly installments on those loans taken. What is your message to them?
See, you must understand one thing, that Felda basically is managing this and financing their loan in a very minimum amount.
$50 is still $50 a month. Yeah, to you and me, it may not be a lot, Dato, but to the Settlers.
Apart from that, Settlers also are given 20% economic rights on whatever dividend that we get, actually. You see, not only they get dividend from the shares of what they own personally, they also get dividend from FGV as a whole. You see, so we are committed to make sure that the dividend policy stays all the time for the Settlers. And we are concerned about our shareholders. They are, in fact, our shareholders.
Dividend policy notwithstanding, in the Rompin by-election recently, BN was still returned unopposed, but the majority was effectively halved. I think when you won it the last time, it was about 15,000 majority. And in the by-election recently, it was actually won by 8,000. A lot of the Settlers at the time voted for the opposition. Clearly, they were unhappy with the way Felda has been run.
John, let me not go into politics. I'm not a person who knows much about politics.
It has to be the way, because your chairman is Tan Sri Isa Samad, and he is a BN person.
You got to pose a question to him then later on. I will make sure I invite him to this breakfast grill.
Dato, be that as it may, Felda Global remains a very much a company that is aligned with the ruling establishment. Now, when Settlers are clearly unhappy with the way the company is being run and they're voting with their feet accordingly, there has to be some kind of message to them, not just in terms of increased engagement, but in terms of how you treat them, in terms of their investment.
I think we continually have engagement with the Settlers. In fact, we have a Settlers, what we call an advisory group in FGV itself, where we communicate, we explain to them. In fact, we also discuss all our investments and all our plans with them on a quarterly basis, actually, right? So if they were basically objecting to any of our transactions, they would inform us on a quarterly basis to us, actually. In fact, we meet them very, very often. Even FGV, I'm engaging them on a quarterly basis.
Okay, lastly, yes. And as a parting shot, and in line with our political overtones of this interview, Dato, we understand that your contract expires in July this year, which is essentially next month. The newspapers are speculating that Tan Sri Ismi Ismail of Tabung Haji is going to be replacing you. Of course, Tabung Haji is one of your major owners. And Tabung Haji, incidentally, was also a purchaser of 1MDB land some weeks ago, of which they too were hugely criticized. Now, what is your view in terms of the succession plan with FGV?
Well, I can't say much about what the newspaper is talking about, and I can't say much about speculation, actually. As far as my position is concerned, I am in a discussion with my board at the moment, but bear in mind, I set up the FGV to work as a team, and the team is very focused on the transformation program moving forward. We're very focused to make FGV the best plantation in the world.
Dato, thank you for spending time with us, and good luck with the business plan going forward.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Dato Imer Mbavani Abdullah, the Chief Executive and President of Felda Global Ventures Berhad, BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by Alliance Bank. Banking made personal. A total banking relationship that rewards you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.